Summer in Sodom. Chapter 8. Ted didn't see either Eileen or Ian all the next day. Mostly he didn't see them because he lay on his bed, staring up at the ceiling all through the hot, sticky morning and afternoon. Once with Ian, he could have explained to himself. He had explained it to himself by saying it was an accident brought on by his overexcited state and by the frustration of his relations with Eileen. But last night had showed that explanation up for what it was. A fantasy. There was more to this relationship with Ian than he had thought. He had to face the fact that here was something about him, Ted, that responded to other than normal sexual desires. He had to face it, but could he? The men and boys he had seen at the Golden Onion haunted him, and he rejected the idea that he was like them. He had found the bar itself boring, and their talk and manners offensive. Surely he couldn't be one of them. Then what was he? My God, what was he? It wasn't one of Ted's better days, and by 4 o'clock he decided to get up and get out of his room before he went absolutely crazy. He dressed quickly in clean jeans and a pullover shirt that fitted smoothly over the well-developed muscles in his chest and arms. Then he ran a comb through his red hair and stalked from the room. He was supposed to meet Ian at 8. The big blonde had mentioned a cabin that belonged to some friend of his and suggested going there tonight, but that was at 8, and it was only 4 now. He couldn't just sit around until then. He was too restless and upset. Maybe if he went on into town, he'd feel better. He crossed the lawn, glad no one was anywhere in sight, particularly Eileen or Ian. For some obscure reason, he didn't feel up to facing either of them right now. In fact, he didn't even want to face himself. That was why he was hurrying off into town. A few minutes later, he was striding along the road, enjoying the feel of the sun on the back of his neck. The powerful muscles in his legs stretched the fabric of the jeans almost to the breaking point, but it felt good to be out in the air doing something, even if it was only walking. He didn't hear the car come up behind him. He wasn't aware of it at all until the horn sounded lightly a few feet away. He turned and saw then, and saw Jerry sitting there grinning at him from the driver's seat of a red Thunderbird. "Hi," Jerry called. "Want a ride?" No, I kind of feel as though I need a walk," Ted said, and although it was the truth, there was a strong urge to get in beside Jerry. All of a sudden, he wanted to talk to Jerry more than anybody else on Earth. "You can walk any time," Jerry said, "but it isn't every day I can borrow a T-Bird and offer you a ride. Come in." Ted laughed and moved toward the car. "When you put it that way, how can I refuse?" He climbed into the other bucket seat, very conscious of the nearness of the other youth. Jerry's shirt was open, and his tan, smooth-skinned chest was exposed to the waist. His trim hips and thighs were enclosed in black Bermuda shorts. Looking at those legs and seeing the long, rippling muscles as Jerry started the car, Ted felt his mouth go dry and swallowed nervously several times. "Where shall we go?" Jerry asked exuberantly. "Just say the word, and I'll take you to the moon." "Well, since this isn't a space capsule, I think Silver Beach will be far enough," Ted said. "Who says it isn't a space capsule?" Jerry shouted against the wind that was beating at their faces. "I'll bet I could put you in orbit in it." "Oh?" Ted glanced out of the side eyes at Jerry. "How did he mean that last remark?" "Have you ever been in orbit, Ted?" Jerry asked. "I mean, ever really off this planet with someone?" "I'm not sure I know what you mean," Ted stalled. Jerry slowed the powerful car to a crawl and looked at him seriously. "I mean, have you ever been loved the way you ought to be loved?" "Well, Eileen and I, does she give you what you want?" "Of course she does. Eileen is a regular sex bomb." Ted's face was red, but he was determined to brazen it through. "I've never met a girl who is such a real swinger sex-wise." "That may all be true, but it doesn't answer my question," Jerry said, letting the car drift to a stop under a clump of trees at the side of the road. "I thought we were going for a ride," Ted said. "We are, after you answer my question." What question?" Ted parried desperately for time. "Have you ever had a real sex experience?" I suppose he told Jerry about Ian. Suppose he told him about the 2 nights he had spent with the handsome blonde. He wouldn't be so superior then. That knowing smile would be wiped off his face. No, he wouldn't do that. He couldn't tell him. In the first place, he wasn't yet sure it meant anything, and secondly, he sensed that it would hurt Jerry deeply if he were to blurt it out. "Like I said, Eileen is a real skyrocket. We've made it good lots of times." He had purposefully assumed the boasting tone of voice and used the words he had heard other guys use when they bragged about the girls they had. Most of the time, he had been sure they were exaggerating. And now, here he was doing exactly the same thing. Well, not really. He had had Eileen, hadn't he? Only partially, he had to admit. Only partially. Jerry was smiling at him quietly, obviously not believing a word of what he said. "Would you like me to send you into orbit, Ted?" he asked. "Jerry, I..." What was he going to say? Should he tell him he was in love with Eileen? Or Ian? How could he be when he didn't know himself? He didn't want to hurt Jerry, but Jerry's arm dropped around his shoulders and pulled him close. Jerry's mouth was on his like a burning brand, and Jerry's tongue was probing between his lips. Ted's hands had gone up to push Jerry away, but they seemed to have a will of their own, and instead were clinging to the dark-haired youth, clinging to him with passionate intensity while a moan started deep in his throat in answer to the torrent of desire that was surging from Jerry's mouth into his own. "Jerry. Jerry!" he gasped. "Yeah." "Yeah." Jerry was white and shaken when he released Ted and sat looking at him. "Let's get out of the car," Ted said breathlessly. Jerry's eyes were flaming with passion, but he took a deep breath and shook his head. "No. No, Ted." Ted stared at him, trying to quiet his breathing. "But I thought you wanted to..." "You know damn well what I want to," Jerry said. "I've never wanted it so much in my life. But I'm not going to." "Why not? I don't understand you. You talk about it, then get me all excited, but you won't." "I can't go through with it," Jerry said. "I thought I could, but I can't." Ted was shaking with the abruptly aroused passion and the just as abrupt rejection of it. He had heard of girls who had did things like this to men, but men did it too. "I'm sorry, Ted," Jerry said. "I can't do it. Much as I'd like to put you into orbit, I can't simply because no one ever has before. Does that make sense? I've been with lots of guys, but I've never brought one out."
"What is that supposed to mean?" Ted demanded, hurt and sullen.
"It means I can't start someone into this life, even though I think he has all the tendencies toward it. This way of life is all right for me and for a lot of other people, but society looks down on it, condemns it. I just can't do it to you. At least not until you're sure what you are and what you want to be."
"I thought you wanted me." Ted didn't understand why he felt so hurt.
"I not only want you, I think I'm in love with you," Jerry said and lit a cigarette with trembling hands. "But regardless of that, there isn't going to be anything between us until you're sure you feel the same way."
So it had come full circle. First, Eileen had delivered her ultimatum to leave her alone until he was sure he loved her, and now Jerry was telling him the same thing. It looked as though the choices were narrowing rapidly for him. They were narrowing to just one. Ian. Ian, who was willing to accept him as he was. "Let's get on into town," Ted said stiffly. He was still hurt and angry, but was assuring himself that it was nothing but his pride that had been hurt, just as it had been when Eileen had turned him down and told him those awful things about his mother.
"Yes, I guess we'd better," Jerry said and started the motor. But then he hesitated and turned back to Ted.
"Yes, what is it?" Ted asked.
"You've got to decide, you know," Jerry said. "You've got to decide whether you're going to be straight or gay." Ted shrugged in annoyance. Why can't people just live the way they want to? Why does everything have to get so complicated? "Because that's the way life is," Jerry said. "Nothing is ever really simple, and especially not when you're one of us and try to deny it."
"I'm not sure I know what you mean," Ted said.
"Just what I said. You're either straight or you're gay. And if you try to live your life as one when you're the other, you'll be miserable."
Jerry's face was solemn and his voice intense.
"And if you try to play it both ways, you'll be even worse off. I've had some experience in these things, and I know what I'm talking about."
Ted glanced at his watch impatiently. "Let's get going. I've got to meet somebody."
"Ian,
I don't think that's any of your business." Jerry put a hand on Ted's shoulder and squeezed it. "Stay away from that guy, kid. As far away as you can get. He's poison for someone like you." "Aren't you being slightly catty?"
"Maybe, but you'd better believe me. I'm telling you strictly the truth this time."
"Well, I'm my own boss. I've got a job and I own my own house. I don't have to listen to advice from anyone," Ted said resentfully. "And if you don't mind, I'd like to get on into town." Jerry sighed and gunned the motor.
"Okay."
"Okay," he said and roared back onto the road. This time, Ian was waiting for him when he entered the Golden Onion at 7:30.
"Well, you're early,"
Ian greeted him with his sunniest smile. "And you're already here," Ted said, feeling the familiar excitement flow through him as it always did in Ian's presence.
"Do you want a drink or shall we go?"
Ian asked. "I think I'd like to go," Ted said with a grin. For some reason, he was feeling reckless, all his doubts and fears buried for the time being. I'm anxious to see this fabulous beach cabin of yours. Not mine, Ian said. I only wish it were. Well, it'll be ours for tonight, Ted said, and was pleased when the words brought a slight flush to Ian's cheeks. Then they were on their feet, and he was following Ted down the dark hallway that led to the rear entrance of the Golden Onion. About halfway down it, they passed an open doorway, and standing in it was a big, hulking man with the ugliest, scarred face Ted had ever seen. He stepped back into the office so they could get by and nodded his shaggy head at Ian. Ian seemed to stiffen for a moment, but then he nodded curtly, and they went on out into the night. They got into Ian's car and started down the beach road. For some reason, Ted's daring, carefree mood had evaporated, and he was confused and worried again. Maybe it was the sight of the scarred man in the hall with his knowing, almost leering expression. Ian seemed to sense it and tried to get his mind off it. "Wait until you see this place," he said. "It really swings." "You didn't tell me which of your friends owns it." "Oh, a couple I know. They use it for beach parties and let me have it any time I want it."
"Do you want it very often?" Ted asked.
Ian grinned at him. "Now, what do you mean by that?"
"Nothing. I was just wondering how many others you've taken there."
"Now, come on. A gentleman doesn't kiss and tell," Ian laughed, obviously enjoying himself.
"And you consider yourself a gentleman?" Ted said with a weak attempt at kidding.
"Not me," Ian said. "I look out for number one, and you know what the rest can do."
"Yeah, I guess most people are like that," Ted said, more depressed than ever. Were Jerry and Eileen like that, too? He had never thought of himself as being particularly selfish, and certainly his mother hadn't been. Or had she? Could there be any truth in the things Eileen had said about her? Why, oh why, did life have to get so complicated? Ever since he'd arrived in Silver Beach this summer, things had gone from bad to worse.
"We're almost there now," Ian said, and in a few minutes they pulled up in front of the A-frame beach cabin. Ted got out of the car and stood looking out over the silvery lake, watching the white caps roll in the slow, stately precision. If only life could be as calm and steady as the lake. Ian unlocked the door and looked back impatiently. "Come on, Ted. Don't stand there mooning at the lake all night."
"I'm coming. I was just looking at the moonlight on the water."
"My, my, aren't you the romantic one tonight?"
Ted looked at the handsome face in the pale light. "Don't you ever stop and think about things? Wonder what life is all about? Wonder if you're doing the right thing?"
"Not if I can avoid it," Ian said, "and I manage to avoid it quite easily most of the time."
They went inside and Ian turned on the light.
"Nice, huh?" he said. "How'd you like to have a pad like this all to yourself?"
"It's real nice," Ted agreed. Sure, he'd like to have some place like this, but would he want it all to himself? Wouldn't it be fun to share it with someone? Someone like Eileen? Or Ian? Or, well, just someone else. Maybe if he sold his mother's house, he could...
"Wait till you see the bedroom," Ian said, pouring them each a drink. "It's really something."
The look in his eyes left no doubt in Ted's mind as to what would happen in the bedroom. For a second, Ted thought of telling him he didn't want to see the bedroom. Then he decided that he would sound childish and silly. They both know why they had come here tonight. It wasn't like the other times. His eyes were wide open now, and he knew what he was doing. If he tried to back out now, Ian would think he was a silly little boy. "Okay," he said, taking his drink and downing half of it in one swallow. "Let's go see the bedroom." Ian laughed and led the way up the stairs. Ted followed, his eyes glued to the smooth rippling of the blonde's hip and thigh muscles. Ian certainly was a beautiful hunk of male, the most beautiful he had ever seen. But what else was there to him? Did they have anything in common except sex? His thoughts broke off abruptly as he stepped across the threshold of the room and found himself locked in Ian's arms. They stood there swaying, their bodies pressed tightly together, their lips hotly demanding. Then Ian's hands were up under his shirt, running like fingers of fire over the expanse of his chest, caressing his shoulders and back, and finally pulling the shirt off altogether.
"You've got such a marvelous body, Ted," Ian whispered. "Such a marvelous body. Anyone would want you, male or female."
Ted felt the wild excitement Ian was always able to arouse roaring through him, and he didn't even try to keep from responding to the tingling caresses. Ian's hands were growing bolder, and Ted felt his belt buckle being opened and his jeans being shoved down over his hips.
"I'm going to love you like you've never been loved before," Ian said. "I'm going to teach you things you never even imagined."
"I love you, Ian. I love you," Ted whispered under the compulsion of the raging desire surging through his veins.
"Prove it to me," Ian said. "Come on over to the bed and prove it to me."
They moved toward the big round bed, and Ian pulled back the spread and pushed Ted down on the black sheets.
Ted watched the blonde undress and opened his arms as he joined him on the bed. From then on, the night was filled with burning, flaming passion, and Ted hardly noticed when Ian reached and turned on the tall lamp beside the bedside table. He merely blinked a little and sank back into a blissful sensation as Ian whispered, "I want to see you while I love you. I want to see your face. I want to see all of you."